So without further ado, I need your best. I mean your best. Coaster Mania, welcome for our Vice President and General Manager, Mr. John Hildebrand.
Thank you very much, Brian. Appreciate it. It's wonderful to have you guys here. Wonderful. So thank you for coming, Coaster Mania. We look forward to it every year. Our staff gets excited about it. It really means a lot to us. We know you guys are our good friends and can be our harshest critics too, but that's okay. We learn from that. How many of you have ridden Mean Street today? 20th anniversary, looking pretty good, don't you think? Different ride. Just wanted to mention, we put a lot of extra effort into making Mean Streak more comfortable, smoother, and better. Jimmy, this is all kind of behind-the-scenes stuff, but Jimmy Sumser, our carpenter foreman, led a group of guys that worked last fall and earlier this spring before the park opened, did an awful lot of work to Mean Streak. And I think it really shows it's a great ride. I know you guys are going to love it tonight. I was out there this afternoon. I was talking to the team leader, Jory Danke. His whole team is excited to show you guys a great time on the Mean Streak tonight. So say hi to him when you're out there.
Okay.
My job is to introduce our keynote speaker, Dick Kinzel, President, Chief Executive Officer of Cedar Fair, a man who needs no introduction. However, Dick, we decided to give you one anyway. And we want to thank Matt Blumhart down here and Brian. Where are you? Hiding back there? We kind of put this little thing together. So take it away. XL200, one of the greatest roller coasters ever built. And you're the guy that really made it happen. You're the person that asked the question, well, why not go over 200 feet? Let's go 205 feet. Let's really make a tremendous roller coaster. And we did. It's arguably still one of the greatest roller coasters ever built. Always going to be my sentimental favorite. I know it's yours too. And for the many, many millions of people who have ridden Magnum over the years, we say, thank you, Dick.
Dick, on behalf of the Cedar Point employees, as well as our coaster enthusiasts and Coaster Mania 2011, I want to say thank you. Thank you for Magnum. Thank you for Millennium. Thank you for the park acquisitions and the hotels. It has been how you've thrilled millions. You believe in the creed. You stop getting better, you quit being good. And we always were challenged to push ourselves and the high standards that you bring every single day to this park, as well as all the other Cedar Fair parks.
Well, a lot can be said about Dick Kinzel. He is the architect of all things great at Cedar Point. He built Cedar Point up to be the best amusement park in the whole world, and Cedar Fair to be the business model and the envy of the whole industry. He's led Cedar Point and Cedar Fair's growth for a number of years. He knows how to keep a balance in life. He keeps it fun for everyone. And I know Dick, I know him very well. He loves his family, and he loves his friends, just as much as he loves his business.
He gave Monty Jasper an opportunity to come to Cedar Point and work at the flagship park. I think the other thing I love about Dick, as far as this company goes, is that he was always in it for the long haul. He was always in it to make it something that would be sustaining for all of us. It's not a flash in the pan.
I remember almost all of our conversations, Dick, but I'd like to share with the group one of the most important ones that I remember, and it had to do with 2006, down at the Universal City Walk. And after dinner, you said, follow me. I'm going to show you the thing that's going to pay for the trip. And we went over to the NBA restaurant, where off to the side, outside, was a basketball hoop and a three-point line. And you said, this is the next great game that's going to be introduced to the industry. It was dark, there was no signage, and people looked at it and sort of agreed with you, but that vision of knowing what to do, it's been tremendous. And here at Coaster Mania 2011, we thank you for everything that you've done.
We were in a planning meeting back in before 2000, and we were getting ready to plan out the future rides and attractions, and the first thing he said to us around the table was, I don't want anybody to say no, before he started bringing up Millennium Force. He wanted to go over 300 feet, and he didn't want anybody objecting to it on the first shot. He wanted everybody to listen to it. So I'll always remember him looking around the table and saying, don't anybody say no, just listen to what I have to say. He did it again when we went to Dragster at 400 feet. I don't think anybody thought that was even possible, but he pushed us to strive to great achievements, and we accomplished those things.
And now I'm just going to pivot around here, and you're going to see the background of Gemini. And this is like between you and me. We both remember that very first day when Gemini opened, June 17, 1978. I don't need to say anything more. Inside joke.
And I travel a lot with him. And I can say, we have a lot of fun. And we're just talking, going back and forth, exchanging a bunch of ideas like we typically do, and he's cracking jokes. And I miss the exit. And I'm thinking, here's the CEO of the company. I'm the head of planning. And I miss the exit. Without missing a beat, he picks up his cell phone and he calls John Hildebrand, who at the time was the general manager of Dorney Park. And he says to John, John, I don't know what you have planned for your day today, and if he doesn't turn this car around soon, we're going to buy you lunch. And I just started cracking up. It was a very embarrassing moment for me, but he made light of it. Didn't make me feel like even more of an idiot. And we just had a really good time. So, Dick, thank you so much. Thank you for your leadership, for your mentorship, and your friendship. Congratulations, and thank you.
Thank you very much, John and Rob and everyone else involved in that. That was a real surprise. I had no idea it was coming. I really appreciate it. John, thanks for all your efforts on that and doing that. And I have to tell you, I really appreciate it. It's been a long time since I've had a warm welcome from anyone. and by the way, there'll be no Q&A after my talk tonight. We'll call it R&A. Think about that. Q&A and R&A. But this is a very special night for me. As most of you know, it's a rare occasion that I speak in public. To be honest with you, it scares the hell out of me to do this. And I do it as little as possible. And when John Hildebrand asked me to do it, I think I shocked him with an immediate, I'd be honored. I'd like to take this opportunity that has been presented to me to thank you all for giving me this tremendous career. The organizations I have got to know and admire are in this room tonight. It's hard to believe that this is the 23rd Coaster Mania event. I remember my very first event that was held back in 1989. We called it Magnum Millennia in honor of what was to be our newest coaster, the Magnum XL200. Magnum was obviously featured at that event, but also was Gemini, another great coaster. A lot of things have happened in the industry since my first summer here at Cedar Point in 1972. In 1972, pay one price was a new concept. Back then, guests had to pay for each ride or attraction they wanted to enjoy. Also, there was no such thing as a looping coaster. In fact, roller coasters have gone through more changes than wardrobe styles in the last 30 years. One of the biggest things to impact the building and design of roller coasters over the past 30 years was the use of steel instead of wood to build roller coasters. Steel construction has allowed parks like Cedar Point to constantly defy gravity and to destroy previous roller coaster height barriers. Steel construction also allows designers to develop and create a wider variety of roller coasters, from inverted thrillers like Raptor to the twists and turns of Maverick to the towering unbelievable height of the Top Thrill Dragster. Steel construction has forever changed the roller coaster industry. If you would have told me back in 1972 that I would have overseen the design, building, and creation of the world's first 200, 300, and 400-foot coasters, I would have called you crazy. But here we are today in 2011, and all three of those record-breaking roller coasters are right here in Sandusky, Ohio, at Cedar Point. Computers have also played a huge part in the progression of roller coasters throughout the years, not only in their operation, but in their design as well. Computer-aided design programs have helped coaster designers create and test their wildest dream for roller coasters. While computers have certainly helped designers create some amazing coasters over the years, you still need brilliant designers to come up with original ideas. I've been very fortunate, and Cedar Point's been very fortunate. We have worked with and had some of the best minds in the industry working with us. Today, like Rob Decker from our planning and design division, helped create new thrill rides you see in the park. Rob, would you stand up and be recognized? Rob and his team have overseen great thrill rides here at Cedar Point, like the Maverick and the Top Thrill Dragster and many others. I were very fortunate to have one of the most brilliant minds in the industry working with us in Lee Jewett. Lee, could you come up here with me? Lee and his team were the ones that helped Cedar Point lead the way in the so-called coaster wars by designing and building rides like the legendary Magnum XL 200 and the Millennium Force, two of the greatest roller coasters ever created. Can I have a round of recognition for Lee? From all of us at Cedar Point, Lee, thank you very much, not only for your dedication to the company, but for our friendship over the years. Lee and I have a lot of stories that go way back, and I'll try to share a couple of them with you tonight. While a lot has changed over the past 30 years, a lot of changes here at Cedar Point as well. Back in 1972, we had less than 6 roller coasters here at Cedar Point. Today we have 17. Cedar Point is, and will be known as the roller coaster capital of the world. We are very proud of that title and will hopefully keep that title for many years to come. But we didn't become the coaster capital of the world by mistake. It was by design. In fact, we have provided more than 100 years of roller coaster thrills to our guests. I will never forget my first year as CEO of Cedar Fair in 1987, watching CNN cover a 165-foot coaster in Japan. I called the ACE president, Randy Geiser, who worked at the post office in Minneapolis, and asked him if he thought a tall steel down and back coaster with no corkscrews or inversions would be popular to the public. Remember, at this time the industry was doing steel twisting coasters. A down and back coaster with a great first hill and bunny hops would be turning back the clock. However, when that little steel coaster with bunny hops grew to 205 feet tall, well, if you've seen the Jersey Boys, when the Four Seasons introduced Sherry, the whole world stood still. The coaster war was born. I recognize some of the members here besides Acers. I recommend some members of the Great Ohio Coaster Club who have supported Cedar Point and Kings Island for nearly 20 years. Are you here? I know we have Acers here. I also see some friends from the National Amusement Park Historical Association, CoasterBuzz.com. Have I missed any organizations? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate all the support you've given to us over the years. You've all been so good, and to me, and also to Cedar Point for over the years. Being recognized as the best amusement park in the world for 13 straight years is a tremendous honor. It's put a lot of pressure on all of us to keep that designation going. It would be wonderful to retire undefeated and have Cedar Point again named as the best amusement park in the world. The team has heard me say this before, and I sincerely mean it. I'm the luckiest person in the world to have worked for this great company for 39 years and to have represented the now over 1,700 full-time and hundreds of thousands of seasonal employees over the past 25 years. Considering this is a roller coaster event, I'd like now to take a little walk down memory lane. Lee and I go way back to the Corkscrew in 1976. In 1975, Lee and I visited Opryland and rode their version of the Aero Corkscrew. It was a good ride. Short, had only one corkscrew, and it was hidden in the back where no one could see it. Lee talked to Ron Toomer of Aero, and together they added the 360-degree loop and placed a corkscrew element right over the midway. That ride gave us our first 3 million attendance year. In 1978, the Gemini was born. But at that time, believe it or not, at that time, Gemini was the tallest coaster in the world at 125 feet and gave us another record attendance year. I'll always remember the opening of that ride, and in fact, in that video when John said, "We have a secret between us, this is it." I was at the station with the sweeperettes cleaning and looked up to see John, who was marketing at the time, escorting Governor Rhodes back to the ride. The governor had a golf game and decided to start his tour an hour early. I was there, sweaty, in my traditional white short sleeve polyester shirt and Cedar Point tie, and John informed me that I was now the official representative of Cedar Point. I did so well that day that Mr. Munger sent me to Valley Fair for 8 years. With the exception of Iron Dragon, no major rides were added to the park until the Magnum XL 200 in 1989. How the industry has changed. Today, no one rides a coaster until it is tested for at least a week, and in some instances, a month. The Saturday before the opening of Magnum, Lee, Ron Toomer, Jack Fletcher, and some maintenance personnel were at the station. The first train was sent out, and immediately coming back into the station, someone yelled, "Let's go." We all jumped in, me in the front seat, and off we went. What a thrill. Even more of a thrill when we discovered that the brakes before the curve coming into the station were not in operation. I have never taken a curve like that in my life. And how could we forget Avalanche Run? Disaster Transport. You all know my story on that and how it was named Disaster by our board. In 1991, the Mean Streak was introduced as the tallest wooden roller coaster in the world. In 1994, our record attendance year, Raptor was introduced. Lee, Don Myers, and I visited Great American Chicago and rode Batman, and then convinced Walter Bollinger to build the same ride, a little bit higher, a little bit longer, and add an additional element. This began a great relationship between Cedar Fair and the B&M Coasters. Yeah. And we all remember Manus. For those that remember, John was in marketing at the time, and I drove John wild with the change of the name of that ride. I think I was on vacation, and I heard a story, and I called John. They had already done the marketing for it, the advertising. We had shirts made, and I said, we can't call it that name. So that's John's story. So Banshee will forever live in our memories. But Banshee was, and Mantis, the world's tallest stand-up coaster at the time. And there's no better coaster in the world than the Millennium Force. Yeah! Rob Decker joined the company in 1999 and helped Lee with the design of the Millennium. Rob did the design work on the Top Thrill Dragster, the first 400-foot coaster. And in 2007, the Maverick. We all know our coasters of today. 119 years ago, in 1892, we had the Switchback Railroad, a towering 25 foot tall and 10 miles an hour. Cedar Point also introduced the Racer, the Cyclone, and Leap the Dips. Cedar Point has a great tradition, the second oldest amusement park in the United States, dating back to 1870. Today we are known as the roller coaster capital of the world with 17 great machines. We have a great and proud history built around hopes, dreams, and even failures. George Beckling, George Roos, Amelia Gross, and my mentor, Bob Munger, have made the park what it is today. Cedar Point is a park built on history. Thank you for letting me be part of that history and representing this great management team. Mr. Beckling, Mr. Roos, Mr. LaGross, and Bob Munger, I hope you're proud of the way I've carried on your tradition for the past 25 years. For all of you, I thank you very much for coming and giving me the opportunity to thank you in person. Thank you. Now, if there are any RNAs, I'd be glad to answer them. For those that don't know why I'm using RNA instead of Q of A, why we'll explain that to you later.
Derek, explain to the young kids what Banshee meant. The screeching.
There was a question on Banshee and why the name was changed. Really, the reason the name was changed is actually, as I said, I was on vacation, and I found out in the dictionary. When we did the title, we saw the dictionary, it said a screaming witch or something like that. But actually, the full definition of that was it predicted the death of a young child or something like that. So the name had to be changed. And so it was changed, but John will never let me forget what I did on that ride. But again, and that was even before political correctness was in vogue, but we really wrestled hard with it, and we just couldn't use that name. But I'll be glad to answer any questions that... yes, sir?
Hold on, Scott. If you guys could, if you have a question, raise your hand, and I'll get you as soon as I can.
In all of the years that you've had in the amusement business, what has been the biggest change that you've seen?
You know, when you work it every day and you're always working 2 or 3 years ahead of time, you really don't notice changes the way that, you know, the way that you think you do in the movies where it just changes overnight. Certainly the height of the coasters when the Magnum XL was put in, we didn't know what that was going to do. That certainly was a big change in the industry. From Monty's point of view, safety is certainly much better now with the magnetic brakes. Rides are tested more. The computers certainly give you more of G-forces, negative G-forces that Walter Bollinger has perfected with the curvature of his ride. So there's been a lot of changes, but they've been gradual year over year. And you know, when you're a seasonal business, you sort of adjust to from a year to year basis. But it's a great industry, and you know, I remember when I told my dad I was going to Cedar Point.
he thought I was crazy. He said, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do for health care? What are you going to do with your wife? What are you going to do with your kids? And he really thought Cedar Point was a carnival. In fact, you know, up until probably like 2 years before my my father passed away, this is a funny story, but it's not really funny. In 1986, Bob Munger called me and asked me if I wouldn't be interested in coming back from Valley Fair to be chairman and CEO or just president and CEO of Cedar Fair, the new company that was being developed in 1987. And I called my dad and I said, in fact, I was there with him. I said, Dad, I'm coming back to Cedar Point, to Toledo. And I said, I'm going to be president of Cedar Point. And he just looked at me and he said, Disney's hiring. So that's a true story. I'm not exaggerating that one bit. Up until probably a year or two before my father passed away, he never really thought I had a real job. Right?
First of all, I'd just like to say thank you for all the wonderful things you've done and given us. Thank you so much for that.
Believe me, it's
your pleasure.
Yeah, you bet it is.
But my question is, if you wouldn't mind, would you mind sharing the disaster transport story with us?
Oh, sure. What we did, we followed the Magnum XL200. What are you going to follow the Magnum with? And we knew it was going to be a difficult task. And we had a coaster, Avalanche Run. I was at Valley Fair when it was built, but basically it was a prime example of, it was a ride that went in the committee as a horse and came out as a camel. Sandor designed a great ride, but by the time you got operations into it, you got safety into it, you got marketing into it, and everybody got their input into it, it turned out to be a camel. It just did. I don't know if anybody ever has ridden it without the covers on it, but it was nothing. And I came back to Valley Fair and I rode that thing. And I thought, what is here? And there wasn't much there. And so we had to do something the year after Magnum, and we didn't know what to do. So we didn't have a lot of money to spend, so we had about, I think we had $400,000 to spend. And so we thought, well, why don't we put a cover, and we'll take a page out of Disney's book, and we'll cover the Avalanche Run, and we'll retheme it, and we'll call it Disaster Transport. Well, the funny story is, we were real proud of it. We had all this special effects in there. And I have a board meeting today. And by the way, there'll never be another board meeting on opening day. There was a board meeting on opening day, and I'm walking over with the board, and we're watching people coming out of the ride, and this man came out with his son, and he says, you name that right, that's a real disaster. So I learned two lessons from that. Number one, you don't bring it aboard on opening day.
Yeah, with the recently successful retrofit of the Texas Giant, I was wondering if Cedar Fair is possibly considering that as a possible fix for some beast.
You know that's not a bad question. We're constantly, I think we're constantly looking at ways. We have a huge structure there. When Son of Beast was built, it was probably the largest coaster in the world. Paramount will admit to probably $35 to $40 million into that ride. When we bought Paramount in 2006, we put $8 million more into it to try to save it. We took the loop out, we put new track in. We still had problems with it, so we closed it, and we're waiting to see what happens. And now, the Texas Giant has came up with this new steel track. Now, I know it would no longer be a wooden coaster, but it can't operate the way it is with the wood configuration. It's just too high and too big. And as if you've noticed, you guys are experts on roller coasters, there's no new wooden coasters that go over 80 feet. 100 feet, just the wood, the chemistry, the physics of it just do not allow a wooden coaster to go over, I'd say, 80 feet. So consequently, we're certainly keeping an eye on what they're doing at the Texas Giant. And, you know, we've got that structure sitting there, and we certainly wouldn't do anything next year. We want to make sure it gets a year under its belt. But certainly in 2 or 3 years, if the success and the maintenance costs are low on that ride, we certainly would consider it. It's a huge ride, and it's taking up all that space, and it's sitting there. They've told us, our first estimate, we looked at it, our first estimate to do it was over $20 million. So it has to be the decision that we want to be right. And with $20 million, you know, we could build a pretty nice steel coaster that could really go up there. But it was a good question, and I appreciate you, you asking the question. At least we're, you know, we're constantly looking at ways to improve our coasters and improving the thrill that our customers want. Brian?
Well, with the park here having the first 200 and then 300, we got 400, but it's a launch. Do you, with your vision, see a ride that will be over 400 that's not a launch?
Yeah, probably someday it will be. I can tell you that, you know, roller coasters are not done at Cedar Point. The things that, next year at this time, John will have a surprise for you. we're constantly thinking about coasters, the cost of the coasters are just, you know, the economic conditions dictate a lot of it. When you're a seasonal operation, you know, you see the papers, the cost of steel, and then most of them we have to buy with the euro. That fluctuates a week, the soft dollar and things like that. So all of that plays a role in it. But certainly coasters are, someday there'll probably be a 400-foot coaster, a down and backer of some kind, 400 feet tall. There's no reason you can't do it. From a physics standpoint or from a health standpoint.
I'm a native Californian. I grew up going to Knott's Berry Farm, and California's Great America. Those are now Cedar Fair properties. So my question for you specifically about California's Great America, what are Cedar Fair's plans for that park? I know there were plans to put in a wooden coaster. That didn't happen. I hear Vertigo's been removed. So I know the situation with the city of Santa Clara. I used to work actually at Paramount's Great America marketing department, so I'm kind of intimately familiar with what goes on there. So the plans for California's Great America.
You know, this is a prime example of why Cedar Fair puts money back into its parks. This is a capital-intensive business. We have to put so much back into it every year. We have a situation at the Santa Clara, California, with the City Commission. As you know, the 49ers wanted to come in and put their football stadium in our parking lot. Well, you know, that sounds good if you're a football fan, but we also have, you know, economic conditions, and we lease that property from Santa Clara, and they did not want to talk to us about reducing the rent. Well, we couldn't even do that. We couldn't take away our parking lot and give it to the 49ers on 14 Sundays a year, and plus they wanted to put a soccer team in there, and it was going to disrupt our business. So consequently, we had to defend our position. And by doing that, we did not make any friends with the City Commission, and they've sort of put a roadblock in everything that we've wanted to do there, including the wooden coaster that we wanted to open. I believe it was last year we wanted to open it, and they basically stopped it, and that coaster eventually ended up at Worlds of Fun because we had a commitment from Great Coasters to build a coaster. We had to take it out of Great America. But we love Northern California. We thought it was a great market. But unfortunately, we're really hamstrung from what we can do there from a permit standpoint.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Yes. You mentioned that they haven't been building any wooden coasters over 80 feet, but a company that you deal with quite often, Intamin, seems to have come up with a solution. They've called it the plug-and-play wooden coaster, where they prefab track, and they come up with two very successful rides, a Colossus out in Europe and El Toro in Great America in New Jersey.
Great Adventure.
Great Adventure, New Jersey. Is there a possibility of getting the Mean Streak retracked in such a way and actually making it more aggressive and still allowing it to be smooth?
Yeah, the same. Yeah, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, the problem with the giant wooden coasters generally is as you double in height, you quadruple in vibration, and the vibration between the car and the track is what's caused all the damage. If you can minimize or eliminate that vibration, you've solved your problem.
Yeah. Right, but you have a steel coaster.
No, and it's actually prefab wood coaster.
I have not ridden.
I'm not talking about the Texas Giant. Yeah, I'm talking about the El Toro. Yeah. It's still a wood coaster.
You know, I don't know what we're going to do. You know, we certainly could consider the steel at the Mean Streak, but I have not ridden the one in Europe, but I have ridden El Toro, and I won't say anything more about that.
All right, Chef. First of all, thank you. Thank you for all the last number of years. I'm still taking a step back in time. I went to this park at the time when the jumbo jet was a big thing.
Yes.
In the 30s.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know what were the several causes for its maintenance problems, and had it not had its maintenance problems, would it have still been here to this day?
No, I don't think so. Actually, when I went into operations in 1975, I had the jumbo jet. And that ride had a 60-inch height restriction on it. And there was a line outside my office all day complaining about why they couldn't get on that ride. And it was not a good ride for the public. And if you rode it, I take it. There was a lot of tight curves there. It was not a comfortable ride. We were just very uncomfortable with it, and that ride was taken out very shortly after it was put in. There was one in Canada still in operation at the Canadian Exposition, but I think that's even been removed now. But it was a very rough ride. They ran five trains, and you're right, it was exciting, and it was tight turns, but there were some real problems with that ride, and it didn't, you know. I think Mr. Munger was running the park at the time, and we just won't sacrifice safety. If it would even risk any type of danger, it was pulled out and sold. Yes. Brian, do you have...
Yes. Next year, Kings Island's going to be 40 years old. You want to let us in on a secret of what you're going to do?
That I can't do, except it's going to be 40 years old. But I'll tell you, Kings Island, did you like the Diamondback? And part of our fiduciary responsibility is to appeal to all segments of the all demographics. And I can tell you the dinosaurs that we put in here this year, if you get a chance to go there to see them, it really is special. And we're really getting great reviews on those dinosaurs. We have a contract with a Chinese company, and they build them. And it has over 84 dinosaurs. And I know it's not coasters, but you can't be on coasters all day. And I think if you get a chance, be sure to go through that exhibit. It's really a good exhibit.
Again, guys, we could go through questions all night, but we've got a lot of other fun things to do next
Brian, week. Brian, excuse me. This right here has been
sure.
All the time.
One more question.
Just real quick. Okay, about the Geauga Lake land, it's been sitting there empty for about three or four years now. And they still got that Big Dipper sitting there in the middle of it. What are they planning on doing with that land? And I heard that there's some people that are trying to save the Big Dipper because that's the historic coaster. Are they considering maybe have an entertainment center over there of different activity and preserve the coaster over there, maybe run the coaster again? What's the deal on there?
Well, the Dipper has been sold 15 times, but so far nobody has came up with any money or came up with an idea how to preserve it or how to save it. John and I actually were at Geauga Lake this last Monday and toured the site and went to Wildwater Kingdom. The land, hopefully, I think it'd be on the lake. Hopefully it'd be an ideal Crocker Park type of retail development. We're hoping someday when the economy turns around that property will be sold and turned into a high-class retail operation.
Great. Again, guys, a huge Coaster Mania round of support. A round of applause for Mr. Kinsler.
Thank you all very much. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.